Send a movie idea.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. We can discuss as many of your movie ideas as we like, but only one can be taken through to the next stage, where passages from that film idea will be read at a government inquiry into the deep-rooted failings and mismanagement of the factory. I'm Joel, a man who puts the cane into Lee Kane, former comms director, and across from me is John Harris, a man who is so afraid of having his private messages leaked in a government inquiry that he writes to me in our own language that we've spent the last decade developing. Hi, John.
Guten hello morning.
They'd never crack that. The finest minds at Bletchley Park couldn't intercept that. Alan Turing, turning in his grave, unable to crack the code of Guten hello, Joel. A decade, as I revealed in the intro, a decade we've spent. Imagine how bad the code was 9 years ago. That's where we've got to in 10 years of developing our own language. Did you ever do like, I think I used to pretend to speak in my own language as a kid. I think it's quite a common thing that kids do, isn't it?
I didn't, but I'm aware of it as a thing.
You were too busy learning French, which is sort of made a silly made-up language anyway, isn't it?
Oh dear. Should we do some film ideas?
Let's do some film ideas. How about this one from Martin? The Boss Baby. It's a biopic focusing on the early years of Bruce Springsteen.
Love it. Big fan. Also, Martin sent about 8 different film ideas.
It should be called Bruce Springs Child. Am I right? Because
Martin sent about 8 different ideas.
Wow. The shit you say on here that I laugh at.
He sent a bunch of ideas all around babies when I announced that I had had my second baby. So big love to Martin.
Ah, oh, well done, Martin.
Yeah. So Bruce, so it's about baby Bruce Springsteen. So I assume he's, much like Boss Baby, he's got his current voice, right? We don't want a baby. We want a baby.
Yeah, it's voiced by Bruce Springsteen. Yeah.
Maybe he starts singing about his experiences at nursery and they become like massive sort of kids hits. People think that they want nursery rhymes, but actually they want sort of folk tales about the hard times in the nursery.
John, I'm going to hit you with 2 songs here. Born to Run, Born in the USA. This man has been writing songs since he was straight out of the womb. The other song, I'm a Little Baby.
He came straight out of the womb and shouted, where am I? And someone said, America. And he said, born in the USA.
Exactly.
Good stuff.
Hungry Heart is about his desire to breastfeed. It's so obvious. The signs have always been there. Bruce Springsteen hasn't actually written a song beyond the age of about 9 or 10, but he was a complete prodigy as a child. And he's just been playing the hits ever since.
I can believe it. That is weird that his 2 biggest hits are both
I know. I thought, you know what? I've always thought that it's weird that they're both born.
He should just...
Are they definitely his 2 biggest hits? They are, aren't they? What? Dancing in the Dark?
Yeah. That's up there, but I think I would say those are his 2 biggest. I think if you went on Spotify, they'd be the top 2.
Yeah, probably right. Let's never check it.
One of the weird things about Spotify is the top Beatles song is Here Comes the Sun, which absolutely is not their most famous song, but it is very good for summer playlists, which is why I think it is the biggest song on Spotify. I might be wrong.
How do you feel about the fact that the Beatles have new music coming out as we record this in 2 days?
I remember, it must have been like a decade ago, someone went on the X Factor or Pop Stars or whatever it was at the time. And it was like, it was one of these comedy sort of people who was like completely out of their depth. And they claimed that they had written a new song with the Beatles thanks to technology. And it was like, you know, they were laughed out of the room by people. And now, looks like he knew what he's talking about.
And that man was Paul McCartney. Is that what it is? Is it with technology? I thought it was like they found...
No, yeah.
So an old recording or something.
It's an old recording, but like something about the fact that it was recorded in such a way as they couldn't sort of separate all the pieces, all the bits, and there was like background noise and stuff.
I see.
And so they've used AI to sort of really separate all the bits. So you have the vocal and the piano. And they tried to do it in the 90s, which is why they have George Harrison guitar parts already ready to
cool.
go. So yeah, I mean, it is legitimately a song that is effectively new and has original performances from all of the Beatles in it. So it is a new Beatles song. It is a very odd sort of thing to, yeah.
It's weird, right? And the big announcement is like, it's the last Beatles song, which is such a strange way of framing it because there hasn't been a Beatles song for ages. that's normally like when a band's like, this is our last tour. It's not because they haven't, when they haven't toured for 50 years. I feel weird about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's going to be a strange listen. Yeah, I think it's going to be weird. I always feel a bit weird about like post... I nearly said post hummus releases then, which is when you make music in after having been to Greece.
You've had too much lunch and the food just is... The music's just a bit more sloppy because you've got, you know, you've had too much
Sloppy,
chickpeas.
Yeah,
it's also... I think it's weird that it's going to be a duet. It's effectively going to be a duet between like a John Lennon in his, what, 30s and... a Paul McCartney in his 80s. That's what I find.
Yeah, it's a bit like that Cat Stevens Father and Son song.
Yes. Right. Should we do another film idea? What about this one from Nathan? Little Dead Riding Hood.
Great. So, wait. What's the thing? Little Red Riding Hood. Let me get this straight. It's easy to get Little Red Riding Hood mixed up with...
It's the one where the wolf replaces the grandmother.
Wolf replaces the grandmother.
What if the...
It's not the one... What's the one where the... someone's eaten all the porridge?
Goldilocks.
Is that Little Red Riding Hood? Right. Those are the two that I always get confused.
Yeah, I can see that.
But that's Bear. Is that bears? Is there a wolf in Goldilocks?
No, it's three bears. Mummy, daddy, and child bear.
Wolf.
I think, what if it is? So, because it's Little Dead Riding Hood, so she is dead. Mm-hmm. What if the wolf does successfully... She doesn't realise the grandmother is actually the wolf, and the wolf successfully eats her, and then... her undead form comes to take revenge on the wolf.
Wow, okay. But she accidentally kills her nan.
Okay.
No?
Yeah, why why not? It's got, you know, did you ever see or hear about that film? I think it was Jeremy Renner and Gemma Arterton. It was called Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. And it was this...
Oh, yeah. Yes, I do remember that film. And it was like the story of them having grown up and they were now seeking
like
Van Helsing-esque or like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Yeah, yeah.
That's sort of
quite good. Little Red Riding Hood all grown up.
Yeah.
Big Red Riding Hood.
So I think that's... Nathan, I think about 15 years, maybe 10 years ago, we could have got that one made.
That could have been... There could have been like a nursery rhyme extended universe.
Yeah. I think it was before the sort of big... Although it was Jeremy Renner. He was in the MCU at the time, so it was definitely happening. But it was, I think it was before everyone sort of went nuts and thought everything had to be a connected IP universe.
I'm sad that the Dark World one never popped off.
Yeah? You think about that most nights?
I think about it all the time. Wasn't there... we're going to make a mummy film, a Frankenstein film, one about the Invisible Man, and then like really quickly running out of ideas.
So they made The Mummy with Tom Cruise.
They made The Mummy,
Sophia Boutella. And then it was going to be like... Jekyll and Hyde is Russell Crowe, but he's also in the Mummy movie. And then Javier Bardem was going to be the Wolfman, and Johnny Depp was going to be Mr. Invisible. That's not what he's called. That's the superhero, the Invisible Man. Just bombed.
Are most of those guys in that film? Oh man, what's it called? It's got an invisible fella in it.
Sean Connery. Yeah, the League of...
Wow, you know what I'm talking about.
The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I was really into that film as a kid.
So, well, I mean, it's like famously a terrible movie, and it's what caused Sean Connery to never make a film again. He hated the experience so much, he never made a film again.
On Rotten Tomatoes, it has an approval rating of 17%. I thought I enjoyed that as a kid.
I think you might have. It's got like wacky cars and weird sort of fantasy creatures. But, you know, critically it was panned and it didn't do very well. It was just after like the X-Men film had started. So that was definitely like their idea was like, oh, comic books are big. Because it's based on Mark Miller or Garth Ennis or one of the big sort of comic book writers. Books.
Alan Moore,
apologies. The third one of the big comic book writers. One thing I know about that film that is quite funny is the reason, like part of the reason why they thought it was genius to do something like that is these guys are all out of IP. They're free license, right? So you don't have to pay for the usage and the rights, with exception of the Invisible Man. So he is an Invisible Man, not the Invisible Man in that film.
Yeah, it says here, you've got Captain Nemo, Mina Harker, and Invisible Thief, Rodney Skinner.
Invisible Guy.
Invisible. Yeah. Translucent Tom. and Opaque Ollie. Oh, I didn't know that. That's great. I'm going to rewatch this film.
Please do and let us know what you think.
I'm going to give it 100% of Rotten Tomatoes and I'm going to turn the tide back in favour of The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Joel's going to spend the next 5 years getting proper critic credentials, working his way up the ladder so that he can be a verified critic.
I'm
going to
do an internship at Empire.
Tomatoes.
I'm going to work for free at Empire for a year and then I'm going to move on. I'm going to work. I'm going to get a tiny little thing published in Little White Lies. I'm going to slowly but surely, using my very, very, very small contacts, but work my way into the film industry. And then I'll write my masterpiece, a 5,000 word retrospective on The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and I will turn the tide. I will host a screening at the Prince Charles Cinema with whoever's left from the cast. I mean, I think, John, looking at the cast, it wasn't just Sean Connery who vowed never to make a film ever again after this came out. Or maybe Hollywood vowed to never let any of them make a film after it came out. But I will change that for good. And then I'll fund The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen 2.
I can't wait to see what other characters.
There you go, with our takings from the Dream Factory podcast. We've been saying what do we want to do with the $200 million that we've made creating the Dream Factory podcast, and I think this might be it. The ultimate vanity project.
What about this one from Tony? A Quiet Place Fart 2. Try to avoid monsters while suffering from trapped wind with no Rennies.
They didn't focus too much on IBS sufferers in A Quiet Place, did they?
Because they'd all gone.
Or like people with Tourette's.
I think
you're doomed, really, aren't you? If there are involuntary noises coming out of you, A Quiet Place is game over.
One thing I...
People with wooden legs?
Yeah.
Does that...
Hey, look.
Pirates with wooden legs. Look, here's the three groups they didn't look at in A Quiet Place. People with IBS that fart all the time, people with Tourette's, and pirates with wooden legs.
The thing is...
I would absolutely love to see a pirate with a wooden leg being chased in A Quiet Place 3.
Well, you know, like Predator, they did that film Prey, where it's based in sort of indigenous America... Why
you
not?
You want to see them versus the pirates?
Well, yeah, why not?
Yeah,
why not?
Could they swim? Could they swim in the film? Or is that... I feel like that was maybe one of the things they couldn't do.
So that's it, the pirates.
Yeah, I think there's a scene in A Quiet Place 2 on a dock. Yeah.
The pirates come to land after a long time out at sea and the entire like world has been decimated and they have to sort of work out what happened whilst being quiet. But they yar so much. And those parrots...
They're always yarring. It's ridiculous.
They're in real trouble.
They're in real trouble. Okay, so it's a quiet place and you're farting all the time. I guess if you were in a group setting in a quiet place and one of your party couldn't stop farting, what would you do? Would you sacrifice them?
Oh, absolutely. Kick them straight out.
Yeah, kick them out. Yeah, yeah. There has to be some sort of test, wouldn't there? Like you'd get them to eat beans on toast. There has to be some sort of initiation ceremony.
So for me, it's not like involuntary body sounds. It would be within about 10 minutes, I'd be gone because at some point I'd have to get off a chair and I'd go, ugh.
Oh, I make so many noises all the time. All the time. I make so many noises. Anything. I'd be in real trouble. So really, you're sort of culling anyone over the age of 30 in A Quiet Place, aren't you?
What about sneezes? Do they cover that in the film?
Allergies. They don't cover allergies.
I've got a big dad sneeze now. Real big dad sneeze energy.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
One of those sneezes that can be heard from miles around.
I milk it for all it's worth.
I hope I'm not betraying any confidence here, but my dad has got a powerful snore.
Oh,
they didn't cover snorers in A Quiet Place.
That
and that's
is
one
true.
Where you're asleep. So you're completely out of control. I used to work behind a bar and I once got home at sort of 3-4 in the morning and my parents' bedroom window was open and I could hear my dad snoring from the street.
That is nuts.
That is outrageous, isn't it?
He's got...
That
he's
is absolutely
gone.
Outrageous. Throw him to the monsters. There's not a hope in hell.
Honestly, I have so much respect for anyone who is the partner of a big snorer. That is quite impressive.
Yeah. How do you deal with it? Okay, how about this one from Aussie Bob? James Bond sold an eye. He
sold an eye. He's one of his eyes.
Sold an eye.
So he's... Right.
Why?
Bond has never missed, right? Every shot he's taken, perfect. It's... Mm-hmm. He works in these world in this sort of world of espionage and stuff with these sort of incredibly rich, you know, terrorist types. The sort of they're not terrorist types. What are they called? They're just nefarious bad guys, right? Bidding and buying stuff. That's sort of the world he's in. And for some, he doesn't sell the eye. Maybe it's taken from him and sold.
I was going to say that maybe he gets captured, and his eye gets sold to they're building the ultimate villain.
Yes.
And they think, let's stick in Bond's eye because he's got such great aim.
Bond's eye. Also, you're also win-win because you're reducing his depth perception. So he's going to be in trouble now. Those big chases. He went out far
and actually,
away.
You know that bit at the start of James Bond where it's just a circle in the middle of the screen? That's what it would look like all the time.
I thought it was going to be at the end they do it. Because at the end of Casino Royale, it doesn't happen till the very end of the film, I believe. I seem to remember. And so he does it at the end of the film after his eye's gone, and he sort of just misses and there's no blood comes down, just like maybe a bit of shattered glass.
That would be good. Okay, I'm into it. We're kind of incapacitating James Bond as much as possible until he... And there's that line, there's a line that I hate so much in Casino Royale, where he is recovering from having been tortured, and is it Vespa?
That sounds right.
His love interest?
Yeah.
He says something about being incapacitated and she says, I would love you even if you were just your little finger. And he says, that's because you know what I can do with my little finger. Which is just the most ridiculous line in a film.
It's like the Bond version of would you love me if I was a worm?
It is, isn't it? Would you love me if I was a little finger? Anyway, what I'm thinking is, James Bond sold an eye. At what point is he no longer effective as an international man of mystery? How many body parts do we need to remove from James Bond? Like, could he be an effective operative if he was just a little finger?
Well, he'd be able to get into places easier.
He would be able to crawl around into places pretty easily, wouldn't he? I'd watch it.
Yeah. On the subject of Aussie Bob, listener, I would like for you all to give us a nickname. I want everyone to have a nickname because we've always given everyone their first names, which is fine because we don't have enough listeners to have more than one person with the same name. But, you know...
No, but whenever a listener comes around with the same name, if they've got the name of an already established listener, John will send them a quite aggressive email to tell them to stop listening.
Or change their name by deep poll. It's not complicated.
Or change their name by deep poll, yeah. And that has happened on a couple of occasions. We're very grateful. But nicknames is good.
Yeah. Just give us a little window into your life. I mean,
there is nothing less cool than giving yourself a nickname.
Yeah, but this podcast isn't cool, so it's fine. Let's just embrace
it. Oh, yeah, we're not cool.
Let's just embrace it.
Or maybe you could give us like one or two details about yourself and we can give you all a nickname.
Oh, I like that.
We can choose your nickname. So, you know, next time you send in a movie suggestion, just put in brackets two details about yourself. Like, I love toast and I own three hats.
Toasty Tom.
And then we're going to call you Toasty Three Hats, right? I'm just quick like that. You know, I'm pretty on the button. It's not going to take me too long to come up with a nickname like Toasty Three Hats, let me tell you.
We're not even using their real name anymore in the nickname. It's literally...
Oh my God. Let's make it completely impenetrable to a new listener. I've got one here, John, from... we've got an introduction that I maintain does not explain what the podcast is at all. Every time I read the introduction, I think, this is just a collection of words that makes no sense. And then we'll go straight into... Oh, hi, John. Yeah, Toasty Three Hats has sent us, I don't know, Tit Follows, and it's about a scary boob that follows people around. Great. I'm a new listener. I'm switching off. I haven't got a fucking clue who these two people are. I don't know what they're talking about. And they've had an email from Toasty Three Hats. It's absolute garbage. It makes no sense.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So,
anyway, John, would you like a film idea from me?
Yes.
It's Tit Follows. No, that is better than the one I've come up with. It's just a big scary boob. It's always coming for you. Americano Psycho. It's a barista serial killer.
Very good. Big fan.
Thanks, man. I think it's people that are, you know, you've got people that are very rude to their baristas or they have very specific orders. There's quite a big thing online of people that work in Starbucks posting images of like the most reprehensible. Have you seen this?
No,
so
but
in Starbucks, you can basically order any combination of anything on the menu that you want.
Yeah.
And you know, when you get a Starbucks, you have a little printout with your name and it will say your coffee. Well, if you go, you know, if you order a complicated coffee, that sticker just gets bigger and bigger and and bigger. And so there's a thing online of people posting like these drinks that are just so far removed from what you would understand to be a coffee, you know, like a combination of 15 different shots of syrup, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I think this film is about a barista driven unhinged by people that make these coffee orders and are very demanding, and they follow them home and murder them. And I think it would hold up in a court of law.
I think there should be some sort of like, their calling card is like a coffee bean or something.
Nice. That's good.
But I know what you're talking about. Like, I see it on like TikTok and stuff where these people are like, here's how you make the special rainbow matcha.
Special blue unicorn thing.
And it looks vile.
Outrageous. It's awful. Yeah.
It, not only does it sound disgusting, it does feel like a real dick move to just order a coffee. I feel embarrassed asking for like decaf.
Oh, John, if I'm outside of London Zone 3, I have to ask for alternative milks in the most hushed tones.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have any?
You know?
Have you got any oat milk?
What?
Come here.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Would you like my movie idea, Joel?
I would actually. Yeah, that'd be a nice idea.
Picture this. It's a horror film. We join our protagonist on payday week, but without any food left in his cupboard, save for one haunted box of cereal. Five Nights of Shreddies. No.
Hey, that's great. That's really good. Well done. Well done.
There you go.
Five Nights of Shreddies. So he's having to, every time he eats the Shreddies, something awful happens, but that is the only food available.
Yes.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Yeah, so something really bad happens. And it has to be like clearly signposted that these are haunted Shreddies from the start, because we've only got 5 days to establish this.
Yeah, it's just on the box. I don't know why he's bought them in the first place.
He got them in the discount aisle, all right? Leave it.
Yeah,
they had the yellow
sticker. Fair enough. They had the yellow sticker on. I mean, he thought it was just some sort of gimmick. So the box says, Haunted Shreddies.
Mm.
you eat these and something terrible will happen. And he thinks it's like a fun Halloween gimmick. And so he has a bowl. Night one has a bowl and, you know, awful things happen in the night. But I don't know if you would, until like the third night maybe, I'm not sure you would think it's actually the Shreddies out to get me.
True. That sort of reminds me weirdly of like the idea of thinking it's a gimmick, but it actually being real. Like lots of the houses near where I live have all decorated for Halloween. And quite a few of them, it's just like stuff that says keep out. And then it has like police tape and stuff. And I just think kids could go up to that door and they'll be like, I couldn't have made it more clear. Go away. Like I've said, keep out.
There's been a murder in this house.
What are you doing?
I like it. I like it a lot. I am so far removed from the zeitgeist that is Five Nights at Freddy's. I've got absolutely no idea what's going on there. It's some sort of horror video game.
Yeah.
And they've made a spin-off film. And I'm seeing clips online of children in the screenings, like losing their minds and screaming. And apparently there's a cameo from a YouTuber where he says the thing that he says on YouTube. And I've seen videos of kids like losing their shit.
It's like Avengers Endgame. Cinemas.
Yeah. It just looks reprehensible.
So is it like a 12A one? Is it like kid friendly or
it's a 15 in the UK? Oh, okay. I think maybe it's like, is it PG-13? Is that a rating in the US? I think that might be what it is.
Yeah, I just know that animatronics, a horror game. I really don't know much about that universe, but it's doing very hot.
It's no League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. That's what I'll tell you that much.
Right, let's pick a winner, Joe.
Oh, okay. What did I like? I think, John, you deserve to take home the crown this week for Five Nights at Shreddies.
Oh, thank you. It was okay. Five Nights of Shreddies, but yeah.
Oh, all right. Fuck's sake. Anyway, we need to go because there is someone coming to hunt me down armed with a boiling hot coffee for my order of a 4 hazelnut pump mocha latte triple shot. That's boring. That's rubbish humour. It's rubbish humour. Taking the mick out of coffee orders. It's bad humour. Hi, John.
Hello, well done, mate. How are we doing?
I'm okay, thanks. Yeah, I'm doing pretty well. Well done on your performance in the podcast today. I thought you did very well.
I think you did wonderfully too, Joe.
I thought you helped keep the ship afloat. What have you been up to? Have you got any highlights for me culturally?
I've got 4 podcasts. That's what paternity leave has done to me, just God. Constant podcast listening.
Is that because you never want to hear your child crying? Because you've got headphones in at all times.
That's closer to the truth.
You got no idea what's going on in your house.
That's closer to the truth than I care to admit right now. first up is these are big podcasts. So you're probably aware of them. So Ghost Story, which is by Wondery, it is like unbelievable.
Just before we started recording, I just started listening to episode 1.
It's brilliant. Like it's so good that I got Wondery Plus to finish it ahead of time.
Oh my God.
It's like such good storytelling, like the way they sort of eke out the information by each episode and sort of tease them. It's just a masterclass, for want of a less pretentious sort of phrase. And so then whilst I was on Wondery, I noticed that they have got the new Will Smith podcast, Class of 88, which is Will Smith hosted, music by Jazzy Jeff. It's all about the sort of it's all about the year 1988 and how that is a pivotal year in hip-hop history, Joel. You personally will love it.
Oh, my God. This sounds great.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Queen Latifah, Run DMC, all of it. It's just amazing podcast.
How have I missed this? I'm going to give that a listen.
My third one is Dr. Anti-Vax, which is the new Tortoise one about Andrew Wakefield, who's basically the king of the anti-vax movement in the UK and US. And then the last one is The Wedding Scammer, which is a Ringer produced podcast about a con artist and his various guises. Less heavy than the other ones, but Class of 88 is not heavy, but really sort of addictive listening. All I would recommend, I would say that Ghost Story is like a must listen. If you're into podcasts, check out Ghost Story. It's so good.
Awesome.
There you go.
Amazing.
Anything good from your end, Joe?
I watched the Netflix show Bodies.
Oh, yeah?
I really, really enjoyed the Netflix show Bodies. It's a sci-fi show about 4 detectives in different time periods finding the same body on the same street in London.
Love that premise.
And how and why that's happened. And yeah, it's fucking great. I think Stephen Graham's just having a really fun time. And I like to see Stephen Graham having a really fun time because I do worry about how demanding his life is in terms of acting. And also, I want to watch and consume everything Stephen Graham's ever in.
He's brilliant.
But that could lead you to have, that could lead you to, into pits of despair. Like, I remember when, you know, the show that you did, The Virtues?
No, but a few years back,
I remember I couldn't watch it. Like, I found it so upsetting and so depressing and so harrowing. I couldn't finish it. And so, you know, this is a great entry point for a sensitive soul like me to make sure that I get enough Stephen Graham time, because he is fucking amazing. And it's really good. It's really good. And I like ate it in like 2 days, two sittings. It's great.
Also, while we're talking about things you've watched, we should... I want to tell it from my perspective. Joel texted me to say, I'm just about to watch Killers of the Flower Moon, so I'll have something. Martin Scorsese film, Killers of the Flower Moon.
I'm not allowed. This is not right. This is going to... I'm in trouble for having this opinion.
So I'm just going to watch that, so I'll have something to talk about in the podcast. And then he texted me 14 hours later saying, it was a bit long. I didn't realise it was that long.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's 14 hours long. I didn't realise either. No, I will say, look, I watched it on the day it came out and hadn't really read any of the reaction to it yet. Everyone else thinks it's the greatest masterpiece ever. They think it's Scorsese's best work in a very, very, very long time. I thought it was incredible, but I genuinely think it's an hour too long.
I've heard multiple reviews that say it's slow to start off with. Apparently the like last hour's very pacey, but the first hour's quite plodding. Is that right? I don't know.
I would say I found a lot of the courtroom stuff in the last hour just like a bit unnecessary. I don't know. Who am I to question Scorsese's judgment? And if every few years Scorsese gets to make a 3+ hour long film, that's good, and we should enjoy that for as long as that continues. But I did find it a little bit long. And there's now like a beef now between the distributor and cinemas. Have you seen this? Because cinemas have introduced intermissions, and they're like, some of the cinema chains are getting sued for putting an intermission in the middle of the film.
It's crazy. I feel like Martin Scorsese films, or just Martin Scorsese in general, really like courts controversy by not doing a lot. So like, he has a couple of opinions about Marvel films and everyone loses their minds. And now like, some cinemas have put an intermission in, and
have an intermission is fine.
Yeah, it's all right, lads.
It's good.
Don't worry about it.
We're going to start putting an intermission in this podcast.
What, 15 minutes?
15-minute intermission, yeah. So you can go and have a wee. Because you don't want to have a wee while we're still talking to you.
Also, I'd say once you've had 15 minutes of us, that's probably enough for the day. So then check out the second half the next day.
That's not a bad plan. Right, same time next week. I did like Killers of the Flower Moon. Before anyone thinks I've got thicker pit, I don't want this podcast to be a podcast where I've praised the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen and slagged off Killers of the Flower Moon. I want to get that on the record now. Bye, thanks. See you next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.